This is Business by the Bay, here to discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions. Your host, Ajay Sani.
Good afternoon and welcome everyone to Business by the Bay, where we talk to successful business leaders and discuss different challenges and also various solutions. I'm Ajay Sani and today's show is sponsored by Payroll Vault. It is a boutique-style local payroll service provider for small businesses. Payroll Vault fully handles the payroll tasks and take over complex payroll activity from the business owners and are also helping qualified businesses get ERC, Employee Retention Credit. The credit is up to $5,000 per employee for 2020 and up to $7,000 per employee for the first three quarters in 2021. For details, please call Payroll Vault at 952-737-7020. Today, with me in studio is Rick Morgan. His passion for franchise consulting comes from helping clients through their journey towards entrepreneurship and with a franchise model. So basically, he helps fulfill the American dream where people are looking for business ownership. This includes identifying the type of industries, type of franchise businesses, and the costs involved to help you make the right decision. A decision that is as individual as you. Rick guides you so that you can make a sound business decision that will give you the best chance for success. Good afternoon, Rick. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, Ajay, and thank you. I appreciate the privilege of being a guest on your radio show.
Yeah, I'm very happy to have you. So why don't we start with a very, basic question. You are a franchise consultant. And why should someone work with a consultant?
That's a great question. I don't know how many times after a seminar or conversations, the prospective candidate said, "Where were you 3 years ago?" Because they may have gone on a path towards their passion, but didn't marry up their passion with their skills and the right opportunity. So that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are 4,000 franchise brands in the U.S., give or take. How does somebody find the right one? Well, maybe an expert who can get to know the candidate and understand where they're trying to get to, what they're trying to do and where they're trying to go, and then match that to the right franchise. That's what I do. That's my expertise.
Wow. And how much it costs? Like, how do you charge, for your service, when people are coming and taking your advice?
Sometimes I have to remind myself to state it up front that my services, my consulting services from start to finish, and even post if they do end up purchasing, is no charge to them. That's because our industry, we're paid the same way as a real estate broker. So a deal has to get done, and then The franchise company will pay me my fees, although I work 100% on behalf of my client.
Awesome. I mean, that's really amazing because what you just said, that there are 4,000 franchise options out there in the U.S., and if I'm trying to find out what's a good fit for me, even if I have the knowledge to do all kinds of due diligence, still the time it will take to narrow some of the options will be, a lot, and especially if there is no cost to me, that sounds like a great deal to take help from an expert.
I think so, too. I think since I have access to hundreds of franchisors, as we call them in the industry, those are the companies, and a process to figure out, to help the candidate figure out what's going to fit their lifestyle and their goals, get them on that path, coach them through the process, it gets all their questions answered. And it's a very diligent process, a lot of steps. We never skip any, but we get them to the point, the candidate to the point that it's either the right decision for them or it's not. And I always tell my candidates, no is okay. Nobody wants to push or pull you across that closing or finish line, as we call it, because it's a huge decision for you. It could very well be the second largest expense, could be the largest, that you'll ever make. I'm thinking about when somebody buys a home.
Right.
Something like that. But franchises can be very much more expensive than a home. And there are some great business models in a very low range, $50,000 to $100,000, including the franchise fee. So that's part of the conversation, is understanding their tolerance for risk and their budget.
Right.
I don't want to waste anybody's time because I didn't ask those questions. And then I show them something that is just too costly as far as their tolerance for risk. They were thinking of one range of budget, and I'm showing them something else. That's what I don't want to do. That's why we have that conversation up front.
Right. And I think it's very important what you just said, because I have interacted with you for quite a few years, and one of the things I have noticed in all those interactions that you are not like a, you know, some old mindset in the sense that a sales person will be pushing and will be forcing that, okay, you are here, I need to sell you something. And you rightly said that it's such a huge investment. You don't want a person to make a decision and regret. It's better to do all the due diligence. And if it's a right fit, it's a right fit. And if it's not, it's not. It's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. And motivation is one constant. Candidates got to be motivated to spend time to deconstruct the business model, to figure that out.
Yeah.
But the timeline of one's motivation can differ, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I've worked with candidates have thought that have entered the process and made a decision and closed with it before 8 weeks. And I've had other clients take 13, 14 months.
Yeah.
It's we deal with life situations.
Yeah.
Stuff comes up. And we work around it, but as long as they're motivated to continue the process, I'm there.
So who are the people you help? Are like most of your clients people who want to enter the business world, or do you also help existing business owners who want to expand or add something complementary?
Yes to both of those and,
okay.
and more.
Okay.
I am dealing with a client now who really had a great career, corporate career, and just went through a transition, was downsized, and just is struggling with that motivation to go back into the corporate life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking for this next challenge, and I think he's willing to take it. It's interesting. Younger people are looking at this even more closely than before. When I first started in the industry, it was about almost 8 years ago. It wasn't that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a motivated husband and wife, a call with them tomorrow, and they're in their late 20s.
Wow. So when did you begin this process? Since when you're doing this?
I was kind of that crossroads myself after a long corporate career and in the beverage industry, being exposed to all facets of the business and, you know, getting up to a certain level. I was downsized. Actually, it was the third time I had been downsized.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the same process, revising my resume, reaching out, networking, getting the interview, getting foreign interviews, and not being selected. And simultaneously, I mean, or in parallel, I was also thinking, what else is out there that I can take my skill set and apply it to and do something for myself?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time to, you know, and I actually had that thought in the early 2000s.
Okay.
But I wasn't ready. I wasn't mentally ready. Looking back on it, I was definitely not mentally ready, but I was, and this was in the beginning of 2015. So I went to a networking group with that mindset, and this is a career transition networking group. And I met a person who had left her banking career and went into franchising, and it just kind of blew my mind. I mean, that this profession existed, and it is how professional it was. So I took about 3 months to dig into it and validate it. And then I made the leap. And it would be next month. It would be 8 years, actually.
Nice. Excellent. So do you have to be an owner-operator to be a franchise owner? What are we talking about, like, in terms of requirements? Because what I understood from you, there are, like, all kinds of people who come for help. And you're helping people who just want to start. They have no business experience, to all the way to people who had experience maybe in corporate or in other businesses and they want to expand or sort of grow into the business world. So you give ideas to all kinds of people. So that's one thing, that there is no limitation. Anybody who's looking for a business idea essentially can have a conversation with you. But in terms of, like, what requirements they have, do you have options like, you know, sort of not absentee owner, but more like passive or like, you know, semi-involvement? Or is it like typically if you want to be a franchise owner, you need to be really involved and be an operator?
Well, over the years, I've seen that semi-absentee and now even passive ownership model emerge. Typically was owner-operator, semi-absentee then came into play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's claimed, you know, touted as you need to be able to spend 15, 20 hours a week, which is fine because I have worked with several corporate executives that want to maintain their job.
Mm-hmm.
The one woman in the Northeast, she has friends that are corporate executives that are also running their own business.
Okay.
And some are franchise models. Well, if they could do it, why can't I?
Uh-huh.
We found that right match. And in the last year, maybe, a couple of franchisors have come out with what is called investor models. And those are passive.
Okay.
And for a management fee, so as a franchisee, a franchise owner, you do pay a royalty. You pay your franchise fee up front.
Mm-hmm.
You may pay a marketing fee. But then if you want complete hands-off, maybe spend 2 to 4 hours a month.
Okay.
These franchisors will with their team will charge a 5% management fee.
Okay.
And you can transition into semi-absentee ownership once a business is running, or you can extend that contract to continue that management support, management running the business. So I've seen uh-huh. that come into play. It's not common. So
okay.
it's if someone wants to look at that investor model in industries like health and wellness, even fitness, those aren't industries that really don't have that. It's others, home services, pets. I wouldn't call it child development. I would call it child development. There's one in child development that has that as more of activity-based integration of sports. So there are a few that offer that. I don't see a big trend towards that, but uh-huh. there are a few.
So there are options. Okay.
Yes.
So that's very interesting because people sometimes they just don't want to leave what they are doing because they may love their corporate job, and at the same time they're looking for an extra revenue stream and maybe security down the line. And security in terms of may not necessarily be just all about money, but also like, okay, hey, if I retire or I'm planning to retire in 5 years from this job, then I have something to be busy and involved. Or sometimes it could be just a passion. One could be in a tech industry, but has passion for health and wellness. So want to be associated with that, or want to be associated with food or something like that, right?
Right. I have spoken with candidates who they kind of intimated that if I continue in my job, which yeah, I'm well paid, but still I'm in an expensive area, and it could be Boston or it could be New York or you know California, of course. And they said, well, it may take me twice as long,
right,
than if I had this extra income. So I'm looking for that. Who knows? I may transition completely out of my corporate job, but if I can build a business where it's creating that extra income stream that I can count on, because we built it right, then that's what they'll do.
Excellent. So when it comes to franchising, a lot of people think that it's all about fast food and retail. You already mentioned a few things. So I guess in reality, the franchising landscape is way wider and bigger, and it's just not about retail and fast food.
Yes. When the first step in my process is mm-hmm. I have my candidates complete a franchise questionnaire, and they'll notice in there are close to 36 industries that they're going to rate their level of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting that you ask that question, because a couple of, I think the fastest growing and one of the best business models that I've seen come out in the last couple of years is in mental health. This organization, and they've been able to support the growth of starting with 12 locations. Now they've got over 500.
Wow.
And they, what makes them unique is they handle everything but patient care.
Okay.
So that the therapists
uh-huh.
and the lead therapists only have to focus on patient care. They don't have to worry about administration and billing and invoicing
uh-huh.
and scheduling.
Okay.
That is done by the home office, the corporate
okay.
center. So
okay.
that's one way that you can create a franchise out of something that you wouldn't think could be
mm-hmm.
because of the infrastructure that supports the franchisees. We've had just 2 weeks ago a new franchise come into our inventory, And it is robotics, okay. Artificial intelligence.
Uh-huh.
So if you think of some of these repetitive tasks, like vacuuming a hotel hallway 8 hours a day, why not take that individual, train them for a high-level job, and integrate this robotic, artificial mm-hmm. intelligence, or same with room service. So that is a very interesting model where the franchisee will have a variety of robots to be able to demonstrate and sell the service
uh-huh.
to hospitals, hotels, banks, you name it, that has
right.
these repetitive type functions. Another one that's very interesting is, and I think it's because they have the same model as that mental health. Everything's done by the corporate, so it's just focused on the delivery of the customer service. Videography. It's called Live Picture Studios, Wedding Videography. So if I'm a franchisee, I don't have to worry about being creative.
Okay.
Because I just, because my home office, the franchisor, they've got the relationships with videographers throughout the country.
Okay.
So they will connect me with those who will execute that beauty of that wedding event. I'm just making sure that the customer's happy, the product's being delivered. And since it's digital, of course it could be edited. And so I thought that was a very creative and different model. So wedding videography, robotics, fast food and retail is a big part of franchising. There's no doubt. Restaurants, food is at least a third of all franchises. So, mm-hmm. You know, that's a big number out of the 4,000. Something unique out of that has come out of Venice, California. It's fish and chips.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very simple, but as simple and as low cost as you can to open a restaurant. And the founder's from Scotland. It's called the Wee Chippy. No one will be turned away because they have a vegan version,
mm-hmm.
a gluten-free batter, and then classic. The chips, the fries are hand-cut right for the customer, so it creates this unique experience. So there's creativity even in long-term restaurants. Another one I like is, it's really part art gallery and part art studio.
Okay.
It's called Hawaii Fluid Art. So the art gallery, what I like about that is that you really get to integrate with your community, because you can work with artisans and artists and jewelry makers, potters, other artisans, and allow them to display mm-hmm. their wares where they wouldn't be able to, and now you're selling it on consignment, so you're splitting the sale price. In the back is that art studio, that training area where classes can be held, events can be held, art instruction can be held. But they really focus on what they call this fluid art, which is really interesting. I would need to show you a video to demonstrate it. So stuff like that is really, you know, outstanding. I mean, people think of different ideas and they go for it and they create it into a franchise model, and it doesn't have to be fast food and retail.
That's amazing. So listeners, we have heard quite a few things out here in just a short conversation out here. So if you are interested in business ideas, I think it's worth talking to a franchise consultant like Rick, who can open up and, based on the interest, can share lots of ideas. So Rick, what is your process? Like, how do we go through the process? You mentioned that you take like into consideration the interest, motivation, and all those kind of things. So can you briefly go through the process? Like, how exactly you help and make them decide if there is a right franchise for them?
Oh, okay. Thank you for asking that. Yes. We start with an initial conversation. It may mm-hmm. take 5 to 10 minutes at most. And in that, I'll describe my process and at a very high level. They say yes, I'm open to it. So the first step is I send an email that has a link to complete our franchise questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell them it probably takes you about 25 minutes.
Okay.
It'll cover a lot of ground, but you know, you'll rate your interest in the industries, you'll identify your budget, you'll talk about, you'll answer questions about your communication style, leadership, how you deal with stress and all that. Once that they submit that,
mm-hmm.
we receive our copies, then I follow up to schedule a longer, more in-depth call. I've got my list of questions, and I state up front that this is going to be a conversation, but I'm going to be taking notes like crazy, because what we're doing is we're building a business model. And I'm going to take the questionnaire, information on the questionnaire and the business model, do my homework, take 3 or 4 days, and be able to come back to you to start showing you franchises that check those boxes that are important to you that will help you get on the path that we've talked about in the business model. These are your goals. And I liken that to being in a laboratory. You know, you're doing clinical trials, so it's testing. Or you're going to spend a weekend and you're going to test drive half a dozen cars. You've got no intention to buy, but you're going to start narrowing them down to that one that you do want to buy. And you may never make a buying decision, but you may find that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my responsibility to take the ones I show you. And if it takes two sessions, we're looking at maybe 8 to 10, to narrow it down to that one or two. Then we enter into the phase where, well, the next step is we're introducing you to the franchise company. And then together we're working through their diligent process, which is multi-step. It's really getting to know the business model, understanding the economics, you know, the financial performance of the franchisees, the cost to open, things you're obligated to do as far as marketing or vendors, their responsibilities to you, all of those things. You're disclosed. Mm-hmm. Right? They send you the franchise disclosure document. You get a chance to review it and ask questions. Then you go into, I think, a critical part, and that is what we call validation, where you get to talk to franchise owners. And you get to ask great questions about, you know, is it, If you're looking for a semi-absentee an opportunity and you're talking to a semi-absentee owner, is it overwhelming their life?
Mm-hmm.
Are they hitting their financial goals? Would they do it again? And I recommend you ask that last question, would you do it again? Because you'll get a quick response. They're always there. I'm always supported. There's great follow-up. There's continual training. Yes, I'd do it again. You know, or there's that hesitation of thinking about it. You know,
yeah.
And that hesitation could create red flags for you, especially if you see a pattern. But if you see a pattern of great comments and great feeling, then that's going to help solidify your confidence that you can be successful. You can take your own skills and apply it to your marketplace and be as successful as anybody within that system. So that process, it kind of culminates when you're invited to a discovery day. During COVID, it was all virtual. Now it's gone back to in person. Some are still virtual. And I always tell my candidates, you know, after that point, and you're headed home or you're thinking about it in the evening because it was virtual, and if it's not 100% in that pit of your stomach, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We won't do it. We're not going to push or pull you. But if you're feeling great about it, congratulations. And I'll tell my candidates that you're going to be awarded the franchise. You know, I wouldn't have presented you if I didn't think you would be. Even after being awarded the franchise and they send you a blank copy of the franchise agreement, that decision's still in your hands. You're still not obligated to sign it. So that's kind of how the process works. I'll stay in touch with my candidates even after they sign, because they may need certain things. Could be a health benefits broker, could be insurance, and so on.
Very good. So there were a few good suggestions that you made, like, you know, what to ask during the validation. And I think that the question that would you do it again is a very important question. So going along further, do you have some more suggestions or anything that you would like to share that can help our listeners if they are interested in owning a business? If you have to give some suggestions, what would you give?
Well, I can certainly help a prospective candidate take a look at cost of opening a business on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And in the like industry or the same industry, a franchise model, so that you can compare the time and money it could take to start your own versus the franchise model. I like one of the greatest slides in one franchise has that comparison, and it's a lot more money and a lot more time. But it's what we're trying to do is really create that interest to contact me. Let's just have that conversation about, you're thinking about it, well, how can I help? And if I describe how I can help well and we decide to go down the path to see if there's something out there that's right for you, then I've succeeded and I'm more than willing to help.
So let me put it this way. What kind of business challenges you see typically business owners face, or what they should be, you know, aware of or cautious about that? You see either people who are already owning, whether it's a franchise or just independent business, doesn't matter. What do you see in terms of some of the typical challenges?
Well, I think some of the typical challenges today are, and we can't sidestep them, but it is finding the right employees. And some of the better franchisors really help.
Mm-hmm.
They've got either an outsourced department or the in-house department that will help you find that right franchise. And then I don't think any business owner should take their foot off the gas and as far as marketing and outreach and increasing their awareness. I think even when there are lulls in the business, that's when you should continue to market and drive that awareness and find a new customer base. Those are a couple of suggestions that I would have.
So essentially, we are talking marketing never stops. Continue to market no matter what stage of a business you're in. And also, make sure you have a good team and you hire the right people, because that will make a big difference. If we don't have the right team, we may have a good product or a service, but without the right team, we are bound to create sort of unpleasant experiences for our clients.
That's very true. You think about the receiver, you think about us as consumers when we contract a service, or, you know, and it's not an actual contract, but, you know, you hire a delivery, or you go to a location and try a new service, and certain things can be a turnoff. We've experienced that all the time. And if you just think about the way to treat a customer like you would want to be treated yourself, then I think you'll do okay.
Absolutely. So, Rick, you're a very experienced franchise consultant, helping so many people out there in making sort of a big decision of entering into the business world or expanding their businesses. What do you think is really the key to your success?
It's persistence. It's the desire to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And the persistence is that there's going to be a lot of people that want to learn, to know something. They think they're interested, but they're not. And when they say they're not, just don't take it personally. You know, so you do the right marketing, target the right people, talk to as many people as you can. And, you know, if it's not the right thing, you depart as friends. If it is the right thing, then, you know, you continue to work with them through the process. Well, that's where the persistence comes in. And it's for me, the better I know my brands and the business models, the better I can convey and create the interest that will go to the next step of learning about that business model. And it's, if I don't ask the right questions in the beginning, I will not do the right job in matching them to the right franchises as far as showing them.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
It's really understanding what they're trying to do in a tactful way. That's key, I think.
I love it, because you mentioned, actually, in this short answer, you mentioned quite a few aspects which will apply whether we are a business owner, whether we are an employee, whatever we are doing, because you mentioned that if there is a no, don't take it personal. Then you also mentioned that we need to know the process, our products, and our, like, you know, whatever the value those products are offering, so that you can communicate that, show them the value of a particular business. And then also you mentioned ask the right questions, because if you're asking the right questions, then we know we are answering what they are looking for. If you don't ask the questions, then we may be talking something else which they have no interest, and then it will not be a fruitful conversation. So those are some really good insights, and I think following these help, like, no matter what we are doing as such, whether we are in the business world or in a corporate job, or even, I would say, a lot of personal interactions.
True. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is so much of our journey. It depends on the relationships we create, and that becomes a two-way street.
You know? Yeah. This is amazing. I really liked, what all you described about your model and explained so many things. So my final question, if there are listeners out there who want to contact you, what is the best way to reach you?
Well, here's my mobile number, my cell number, and then you can call or you can text. It's 925-324-6371, 925-324-6371. You can search for me on LinkedIn. And LinkedIn, it's Richard Morgan, all connected, no space. And then my email is a long one, rick@thefranchiseconsultingcompany.com. And it's all spelled out. So those are three different ways that we can connect.
Excellent. So listeners, if you are thinking about getting into the business world or looking for some business ideas, please do not hesitate to contact Rick. And you can reach him at his cell phone number 925-324-6371. And also you can email him at rick@thefranchiseconsultingcompany.com. So thank you, Rick. This has been really good. And I appreciate you spending the time today to explain what all you are doing and helping people out there.
You're so welcome, Ajay. And I want to thank you for the privilege to be a guest on your show. I really appreciate it.
Great. So listeners, thank you for joining us on Business by the Bay today. This show was brought to you by Payroll Vault. We hope that you enjoyed the show, and you can find the recording of the show on our website, businessbythebay.live. So I would say I'll see you next week, or you will hear from me next week. And until then, you take care and have a great weekend.
Business by the Bay with your host, Ajay Sani. Join us next time as we discuss challenges businesses face and possible solutions.